Gefahr im Gespräch. Der Podcast der Austrian Self-Care Association.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of IGEFA im Gespräch, the podcast of the Austrian Self-Care Association. My name is Christina Nageler and I'm the Managing Director of IGEFA. In our new podcast season, we are diving into the world of artificial intelligence to explore how disruptive technologies like ChatGPT are impacting self-care. What new opportunities are opening up for consumers and manufacturers, and what pitfalls should we be aware of? Let's find out together in this podcast season where the journey in the universe of algorithms is headed. Experts in artificial intelligence from around the world have accepted my invitation to the podcast studio. My guest today is Julia Walsh, a leading expert in search listening and a pioneer in understanding chat-based search queries for health topics. Welcome, Julia. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Christina. It's so wonderful to be back connecting in with IGEFA.
Before we dive into the breathtaking developments in the digital landscape, I'd like to briefly introduce my guest today. Julia Walsh resides in Australia. She's the CEO of Brand Medicine International and is renowned as specialist in pharmaceutical marketing and health communication. Julia's inherent curiosity drives her to understand emerging trends in data science, and she is a global pioneer in the application of search listening to healthcare. IGEFA members may remember Julia from two training events in 2023 and in January of this year, where she provided insights into the world of search listening and AI-supported search process. Julia, in one of your LinkedIn posts, I read that people might spend more time with Dr. GPT and Dr. Bing than with Dr. Google or even a real doctor in the future. From your perspective, what are the major opportunities of these new tools and what are the risks?
Yes, well, the artificial intelligence large language models that we saw launch primarily with ChatGPT in November just over a year ago has really transformed the way that information is served to people when they're seeking to learn about a topic. And so it's become more conversational and it's also infused with empathy, which is very different to the normal search experience with Dr. Google that we're all familiar with, where we ask a question and we receive a menu of ranked websites, and then we have to do our research within those websites to get the answers that we need. Now, the artificial intelligence tools that have been integrated into search engines, and Bing has actually won the race to roll that out around the world, even though it has a much, much smaller share of search. So those Bing AI tools are so engaging and conversational that it's attracting people across. And if you use it for yourself, you'll actually see why it's much more preferable in a way to the traditional Dr. Google that we've been using for so many years.
And what do you think are the risks then?
Well, the risks
too are... Too much empathy?
We could never have too much empathy when it comes to health issues. Certainly what I see with the kind of questions that people ask along different points of the patient journey is that they are absolutely full of emotions. The way they're asking these questions, they go from denial to fear to depression. So empathy in the response is a really, really important thing if we want to engage stakeholders with health advice. I think the primary issues with these tools is, well, there's a few issues. One of them is that they scrape content from what's on the visible web. So if information sits behind a firewall, it's not going to be detectable by that artificial intelligence tool. And a lot of the time, particularly with prescription medicines, which may be used in combination with self-care, over-the-counter medicines, you know, that information is sitting behind the firewall. So the artificial intelligence tools won't be able to access that for locally relevant advice. The other thing is the hallucinations. So we've seen many, many instances where the references that have been proposed by the artificial intelligence tools or the chatbots have actually not even been valid references. They haven't existed. They've made them up and they sound really, really good, like an official journal, and there's the date of the publication and that's the title and these are the authors, but it doesn't exist. So they're referencing sources to support health advice that's going to drive people's decision-making in what steps they take to resolve a medical issue, but possibly the resources that they're using don't even exist. So that's another issue as well.
Okay, this naturally raises the questions of what this development then means for the self-care industry and how manufacturers of over-the-counter medicinal products, food supplements, and medical devices respond to these new technologies. What would you suggest?
Yes, I would definitely suggest a proactive approach in the digital transformation of your communication strategy to account for this. It's going to happen pretty quickly in the way that we see the entire digital landscape change. And we're already seeing that in Bing, and we're anticipating it to roll out from Google with their search generative experience around the world as well. So we need to understand, you know, moving from search engine optimization to a concept of search chat optimization. And what does it mean to have a presence in those responses? One of the first things we can do is to understand the real-world digital share of voice of the publishers across a particular category. So say you work in coughs and colds, then you could do an analysis to understand for all of the questions on coughs and colds that people in Austria are asking or in any particular country. And then you can look at the first search engine result pages for those, and then you can actually rank across all of those publishers who is actually turning up the most. This is an analysis that we've really pioneered because we're so curious to understand, well, how do we know what publishers are going to be carried across into these new answers? And we have actually found a correlation between organic presence and prominence and incorporation into those chat-based responses. So switching, I think, in the short term to prioritizing your organic presence is really important. What we've seen with paid content from one form of digital information experience with the traditional menu of ranked websites across to the chat-based ones is that the paid presence completely changes, but there's consistency with the content being presented in that menu of ranked websites organically and the content that's been drawn upon to generate the artificial intelligence chatbot responses. So that is something in terms of looking at that organic profile and then also finding out who are the other publishers with a high presence and leveraging their digital footprint to actually include the right kind of information about your medicine, the right kind of disease education information that's going to guide somebody along that patient journey from niggling symptom across to diagnosis and finally using a treatment, you can actually co-create with those other publishers as well.
Do you think government or other stakeholders in the healthcare system can interfere in these new technologies or should interfere into these new technologies?
Yes, I think they have a responsibility to understand what's happening because so many questions that are asked of search engines and as they move into these new models are health related. And these questions drive people's opinions, which in turn catalyzes their behavior. And when we ladder it up across the volume of activity, it is having a really profound impact on quality use of medicines and public health outcomes. So I think that governments should be absolutely on the front foot with regards to this transformation that's happening, because if they're not, they're going to find like I mentioned before about the references being wrong or the content being drawn specifically from that highly visible content, but a lot of the evidence-based stuff is behind a firewall, they're going to see implications, I think, in what's happening day to day with, you know, people in the real world. The two spheres are so connected, like what we do every day and the decisions we make and what we choose to buy and how we choose to take that medicine, as well as what, you know, what we're searching for online. Like those two things are so interconnected.
Do you think governments are prepared for doing that?
I don't know that it's necessarily on their radar. I think they have a lot of priorities and they get caught up in these other priorities, and this kind of falls to the either too hard basket or it's okay, we'll keep the can down the road and we'll deal with it later. What I would love to see is some level of accountability for the information that is served online in the chatbots. And currently, I don't believe that there's any legislation or framework that says that, you know, if someone is asking for advice on how to take a medicine and the advice is given on a different medicine, for example, who's accountable for the person taking that incorrectly? If it says take it every day, but you're meant to take that once a week.
Yeah.
Or if it says you can take this with grapefruit or whatever, but you're actually not supposed to, who's accountable for the consequences? Because a lot of those patients will end up in the hospital. One of the largest reasons for people going to the emergency room is they've mistaken their medicines. And so it is really important, I think, to get ahead of this, understand how the digital landscape is changing and accept the volume of activity and find a way or set up a task force to lean into that and do the digital housekeeping that's required to clean up the internet for patients in your country and make evidence-based, locally relevant content easily available in those chatbot responses.
What role does health literacy play in dealing with AI-generated response?
I think that's a good question. I think health literacy has a really big role to play because maybe before, when you were offered a menu of ranked websites, you had to do a bit more research. You might have felt like you weren't fully armed with the answers that you needed. And so you go and you do talk to your doctor or you talk to a friend or a family member. These chatbot responses are so easy to digest. They're published in a way that it feels like anyone can understand the answers, and they're quite directive as well. And so, you know, if you don't have good health literacy, one of the questions that we asked, and it's a controversial question, into ChatGPT was, give a PubMed reference for why ivermectin is a good treatment for COVID. And I know this is a very controversial topic, so we wanted to see what people who would ask that kind of question would actually find. And we found it gave a PubMed reference very confidently. And you could think, oh, well, there's a PubMed reference that supports this information that's been presented to me. But if we took that PubMed reference and then put it into PubMed to verify that number, we found that the study had nothing to do with COVID and nothing to do with ivermectin. So if you don't have good health literacy, you're going to accept those answers at face value. And I think we're going to be taking a step backward in terms of public health outcomes in the first instance before we are able to really reform and improve the digital information experience in health with up-to-date, fit-for-purpose regulatory framework, so that we can actually optimize health outcomes and use Dr. AI, Dr. Bing, as a genuine contributor to a positive multidisciplinary team.
Well, thank you, Julia. One final question. In a world where chatbots and artificial intelligence are becoming more prevalent, what advice would you give listeners to make the most of this technology for their own self-care?
I think lean into it. I mean, it is super fun and it does make you feel supported. You know, everyone is so worried when they have a healthcare issue, and this is a lovely way to actually feel like you've got a buddy in your corner, but just take it with a grain of salt. So any answers that you get, make sure to verify them with other sources of information. Make sure before you make a significant decision about a health issue that you actually seek a second and third opinion as well. So it's a good way to get a second opinion on its own, but it's not the kind of resource that I would rely on solely to make significant health decisions. I think one of the challenges with it is that this has become very popular and it's been rolled out, and it delivers those answers with empathy, like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you feel better soon. It includes emojis. It's very, very engaging, and it's rolled out at the same time that around the world we're seeing, you know, a real cost of living crisis. And so it does make people think twice before they go to the doctor or before they spend money on a medicine. So this will be, you know, a lot of people will be gravitating towards this and using it, I think, a lot more than we've ever relied on Dr. Google.
Thank you, Julia, for these fascinating insights into the world of algorithms.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be on your podcast. I know you've got an incredible lineup of people, and I look forward to listening to your other conversations as well, Christina, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Julia. If you want to learn more about AI trends, join me for the next podcast episode. More top experts are on the guest list. This podcast series is just one of many services offered by IGEFA. Did you know, for example, that IGEFA members can attend all our training events for free? And that includes all team members interested in regulatory or marketing topics. I'd be happy to send you information about IGEFA. Just write me at office@igefa.at. I wish you a pleasant time until we meet again at one of our next events or in the next podcast episode. Thanks for tuning in.